Hey, podcast listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. As we are approaching summer, it is a time when most of us spend some extra time with our families, whether it's with our kids who are home for the summer or with visiting family members in other places. I have been thinking a lot about family. One of the reasons I've been thinking so much about it is, of course, my family is in its own transition as our oldest child went to college, came back, and now it's going again. Like, it's just like a little bit of a yo-yo. But it's the experience of having a family member get ready to fly the nest and really like individuate. And so the shape of the family changes. We go from a team of four to, for most of the time, a team of three. I've also been thinking a lot about family because I've been working on a circus show all about family. Familia is the name of the show, and it's happened Memorial Day weekend of this year. So the narrative for the show, the thing that is read and woven into the circus acts, is what I've been working on and reflecting a lot about. And I thought I would share that with you today during the podcast episode. So hopefully it is useful and interesting to you, because, man, we all have a family. Whether we are raising children or not, we come from a family, and we have some aspects of chosen family that we create as we fill our lives with humans that shape us and we shape. It's great fun. All right. Thank you so much for listening.
Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. This is a place where we have conversations about mental health and entrepreneurship. We have a pretty broad conceptualization of what mental health means. Sometimes depression, anxiety, sometimes relationships or physical health. The goal here is to bring some calm into the crazy roller coaster of ups and downs that is life for many entrepreneurs. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Sherry Walling. I'm a clinical psychologist and an entrepreneur, married to an entrepreneur, live in the world of entrepreneurs, and I'm so pleased that you have joined us for this conversation.
Hi, my name is Dr. Sherry Walling, and I'm a clinical psychologist who specializes in the mental health and flourishing of entrepreneurs and their families. And today I'm thinking a lot about the subject of family. I am in the final stages of preparing a circus show organized all around the interweaving, the ins and outs that we experience in our life with family. Of course, all of us begin in a family in some form or another. And then we, for the most part, spend our lives kind of in this dance of push and pull of unity and separateness with various iterations of family, our family of origin, the family that we came from, the family that we choose, our children, their children. It's really an interesting, like, core theme of the human life. So I thought today I would share with you some of my reflections on family in the narrative that I'm weaving together for the show. So we begin with this question about what is a family and how do we end up here? Some of my spiritual friends say that our soul chooses a family. So I imagine some cloud-laden meeting room where the soul assignments are divvied up. The bosses are handing out jobs, and we raise our hand and say, I'll take that family. I'll do that job. And then we're sent down to earth to inhabit a body and join a certain family so that we can learn a soul lesson or complete some cosmic task or correct the errors of past lives or something. Not sure that I get all of the specifics, but the point is our soul chooses life with a set of people because of what they can teach us, because of what we can teach them, for better or for worse. My less woo-woo friends say there isn't really a choosing. There's no cloud-laden room. There's just biology and cell division and a special combination of biochemistry and social programming that lands us with a group of people. A family that we're evolutionarily programmed to feel some affiliation with for our protection and the survival of the species. I'm not sure how it happens exactly, but none of us shows up in life by ourselves. We are made by other humans, received by other humans. We're dependent on other humans for years, the longest dependency among mammals. We need our family to protect us and give us the safety to mature into adulthood. At its core, by definition, by evolution, by design, family should exist as a place of shelter early in our lives. Arms that hold us, protect us, tend to us, feed us, siblings that help us learn how to play, how to argue, how to be in relationships. Family provides a place of safety in the chaos and cruelty of the world, a place of belonging, a unit, a tribe, a shared name, a biological resemblance. This belonging, this shelter, is where we develop, become, begin. Families are a good idea on paper. The shelter of a family gives youngsters a time to mature, to become, to belong. But like all powerful forces, there is an opposition, a dialectic, a shadow. Shelter can become a cage. Belonging can feel like the requirement to conform. Intimacy can become an abusive intrusion upon the autonomy of the self. The structure of family can, at times, make it difficult for us to have the space that we need to breathe to become who we fully are. Families are the place of our deepest pain. Our family members have tremendous power to hurt us. They have the most direct access to our vulnerability, and they pose the most threat, are most likely to abuse us, wound us, confuse us, leave us in conflict and turmoil. Families are the primary source of grief and trauma. Unhealthy families have the potential to set us on a path of destruction and chaos that will mark the rest of our lives. Family adversity shapes the expression of our DNA at the cellular level, the way that we see ourselves, and it is the single most important determinant of mental health for the duration of our lives. Even safe, healthy families create opportunities for very important but difficult lessons. Family is a place where we first experience hurt, disappointment, anger, the place we learn to watch what we say, begin to understand how our actions hurt others, learn to assert ourselves, learn to listen to others, learn to set boundaries, and of course, learn to forgive. I am the mother of teenagers, wonderful teenagers, in the thick of a very important process that developmental psychologists call individuation. These young ones are completing their formation as individuals. They are finishing childhood and no longer in such deep need of the shelter and caregiving that protected them in their early years. They are less and less at the family table, spending more time with friends, in their chosen activities, working, studying. They can feed themselves. So as a parent, nothing is more gratifying than watching them become who they are, grow into themselves. Nothing is better than having a front row seat to them, witness them, to see them, to cheer for them. Nothing is more heartbreaking than them leaving. There's deep grief in this process. Even when everything goes as planned, even when the family does a good job protecting a young life and giving it enough freedom to flourish and take flight, individuation is a time when young people take the space they need to finish developing, when they begin to choose for themselves who they are, how they live. Rather than a family that they're cosmically assigned to, they begin to choose their own people, choose friendships, lovers, partners, choose who they love and how they love. A time when the family changes from life-sustaining caretakers and protectors to being a team of cheerleaders and advisors, a place to gather around the table for a free meal and do a load of laundry. I recently read an article reporting that 27% of Americans are actively estranged from at least one family member. An ideologically polarized society has led families to feeling deeply divided. And a society that is increasingly aware of abuse and trauma means that individuals feel better able to step back and distance themselves from the challenging or damaging relationships they may have in their families. There is less of a requirement to sit around the table with people who don't see us, don't understand us, don't respect us. There is less of a pull to pretend to get along with people that hurt us. This pattern of estrangement, there are some good and healthy things about it, but I also worry about it. I'm not suggesting that people stay in abusive relationships, but I also know that loneliness is a public health crisis, and screens are the most prominent recipient of our loving gaze. I worry about what it means when families become strangers, when distance becomes easy. Aloneness is the pattern. Too much distance, too much loneliness, too much separateness. I worry about the depression, addiction, and pain that festers in the silence between us. I worry about us getting lost from each other. In 2019, we lost my brother Dave to suicide. He had a long battle with alcohol, and over the years, he became increasingly detached from us, increasingly separate, increasingly alone. when people ask me about him and what happened to him, sometimes I say simply that we lost him. It happens sometimes in families, the distance. We can't fit together. We can't find each other. We get lost. Despite the potential heartbreak of family, despite the inevitability of conflict, the certainty of loss, we almost always choose to be in some kind of family. We begin in a family, we individuate from that family, and then we construct a family of our own choosing. We do the whole thing again. Sometimes we do it much better. We find ways to improve, to correct, to heal the problematic patterns of our upbringing, perhaps the patterns that have been in our lineage for generations. We love with more openness, parent with more kindness, listen better, learn from the mistakes of the past. And sometimes we bump into the same old challenges of family life, busy schedules and stagnant bedrooms, short tempers and flawed understanding, the overwhelming work of caring for children and elders and still getting to the gym. Such a challenge to be an individual self alongside the selves of other people. The setup is imperfect, and many of us are profoundly tired. But we try over and over again as a species. We keep trying to create a home, a shelter, a constellation of close relationships in this imperfect situation we call family. We try throughout our whole lives, almost like it is the grand quest of our lives. And maybe it is. Maybe it is the quest of the human life, being an individual in a lifelong dance alongside all these other individuals, our mother and father and brothers and sisters and cousins and romantic partners and nephews and children, our children and their children, always trying to figure out how to be loving, how to be kind, how to forgive, how to grow. In this lifelong dance of family, the one consistent thing is us. We always come back to the relationship we have with ourselves. And family is the thing that we push and pull against, that defines us, how we define ourselves. Really, is there anything braver than to live your life in the presence of others, to be vulnerable enough to be seen, to be loving enough to see? The most profound thing that we offer each other is a front row seat to each other's lives, different generations, different birth orders, different biology, similar DNA. I see you. I applaud your joy. I agonize alongside your hurts. I know you're trying. You are living in a singularity, a collection of cells that is separate from my cells. And we cannot undo this separateness, our profound existential aloneness, but we can witness. We can behold. We can let each other know that the life that we're living is not in isolation, is not without its ripple effects. Each of us, a drop of water, a surge of energy, shaping the lives of others, bumping up against each other. You shape me. I form you. Even the most broken, challenging family holds the opportunity for the most important lessons on how to be human, how to survive, how to heal, how to love. So what if, instead of being so reactive to everything that our family members do, we can make our way to being neutral observers, to watch them, to learn from them. Again, how to love, how to parent, how to struggle, how to age, how to be young, how to play, how to work, what not to do. What if our role really is to bear witness, to see their lives and let them see ours? For all its flaws, family is home, our home in this physical life. The place where all of our adventures begin and end, the place where we rest, the place where our hurts are allowed to come to the surface to be soothed, where we hear and say the simple words, I'm here, I see you, I got you, I love you. So this collection of reading is the narrative for the Familia show that my team and I are putting on in Minneapolis, and what a deep delight it is to integrate the different parts of my life. My work as a psychologist, my passion for athletic, artistic circus arts, and my desire to be a source of help and support for my community. So this work is really close to my heart. If you're interested in it, you can head to touchingtwoworlds.com. But in the meantime, I hope that these reflections on family serve you in your lifelong dance with your family in whatever form it is currently taking. If you would like more support for your family or yourself, please reach out to me and my team at zenfounder.com. It is our deep delight to be alongside you in the journey throughout the duration of your life as a leader, entrepreneur, and member of a family. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, feel free to check out zenfounder.com for lots of resources about the kinds of conversations that we have on the podcast. You can get information about working with me, about maybe joining a Zen tribe. It's sort of like a mental health boot camp for entrepreneurs. We also have lots of content on our blog, links to resources in our courses and books for sale. So check us out there, and we hope to provide anything and everything that you might need to make the entrepreneurial life a little bit easier.